Unfortunately, we are already thinking of tomorrow. It's human. And it's necessary. With that thought in mind, there are a few things I would like to say. Actually, no, there's only one thing I would say. It's always the same thing. You remember when I talked about the cup and when I was talking about the cup, actually I was talking about everything. And I was also talking about generosity, as I had talked about, discipline, the koan practice, the circle we did yesterday. Everything could be reduced to the discussion of the cup. Maybe I'll use the example of the circle yesterday. That's different. Instead of staying with the cup, go to the circle. So we had this circle in which we all came, sat down, took a position, and then we were asked to empty ourselves of the ideas, prejudices, expectations, fixed patterns in relation to ourselves and in relation to the others. So we were being asked to empty the circle and empty ourselves of all of these different qualities, thoughts, emotions, appearances, everything. I say everything is just a way of summing up instead of naming all of these things. And then we were asked to be present to that empty, and in that presence to then acknowledge or receive the differences and the very specific qualities, words, emotions, colors, feelings, textures that were being presented. However, we were being asked to receive it not from our fixed positions of how that person should be or what the words we expected to hear, but from a position of having emptied the vessels, if we are vessels, or the circle is a vessel. And when we do that, we have a different appreciation for what then arises. So the words that we hear, if we have emptied ourselves of our expectations, we receive them differently than if we are expecting someone to say something. Or we are expecting ourselves to say something or not. Or we are witnessing how our difficulty, how difficult it is for us to speak or not plan. Sometimes I have felt that it's most difficult to be the second person to speak in the circle, because suddenly I had no time to prepare. And this person next to me spoke, and now suddenly I have to say something. Sometimes I think it's most difficult when I'm the last person, because then I have heard what everything has said, and I have had a lot of time to think about it and take in what other people have said and think, oh, that's a good idea. Oh, yes, that's nice. Oh, I really don't want to say that. Plan it all out, get it all organized. And then if I want to be true to the spirit of the circle, I have to drop all that stuff and put it away and empty again. And it's harder to empty sometimes if I've taken in a lot of information. So this process of emptying, opening, and then receiving applies to the circle in a very concrete way that now we all can relate to, because you all had that experience yesterday. And we experienced it to different degrees. At some moments, maybe we were truly open and receiving whatever was being said. At other moments, maybe we were judging and thinking, oh, no, I don't like that, or I'm uncomfortable with that, or that person is not really doing what we wanted them to do, or something. You know, a lot of, or that person is really good, I'm not as good as them. But I'm sure there were moments for each of us where we truly opened and received. Now, how am I, when I say this relates to generosity, discipline, the koan practice, the middle way, going into everyday life tomorrow, it's the same thing. So, in the koan practice, for example, that I talked about, can we take the question, the object that has been given us, and empty it of everything we think we know about it? So, it may be a question, maybe a word. It may be a phrase, it may be a story. Whatever it is that you've been given, empty it of everything you know about it. This is very difficult. That's why whenever I was talking about it before, I said you have to go through all of that. You have to go through all of your ideas, your impressions, what you think is beautiful, what you think is truly the truth, what you know already, you've heard about it, all of it, all of the conceptualizations, because all of that is just concept. That's like coming to the circle and knowing exactly what will happen, exactly what you will say. You've made opinions about all of these people here during the week, maybe even subtly, even just seeing how they dress, how they walk, how they eat, how they behave when they're washing dishes, how they behave with other people, how they behave with the animals. You've made ideas. In the circle, you were asked to drop them. Same thing with the koan. You're asked to drop all those ideas. So, before you've instilled the question, the object, the word, with your ideas. Before that, what is it? What is there? So, I say before, actually, it's you're asked to experience it after you've eliminated those things. But what you experience is what was before. Okay? Mm-hmm. Sounds a little convoluted, but that's true. In fact, it's neither before or after, it's just what is. So it comes back to this things as they are. So there, for example, there's a famous koan. Usually it's phrased as, what was your original face before your parents were born? So, makes no sense whatsoever, right? It makes no sense as long as we have it filled up with all of our ideas and our systems of thought and our logic and our impressions. But actually what is being asked is, what is your face? I'm putting it present instead of what was your face. What is your face before you is born? And I'm making a grammatical error there. What is your face before you is born? And what is being asked is not a concept. What does it look like? What is it? If you empty that from everything you know, if you empty your face, even empty your idea of what your face is, all of it, empty it. What is it then? And then if we took it apart, like dissected it, we would say, okay, there's this first step where you have to empty it of all of these things. And then there's the second step where it's the moment in the circle when we are all just sitting there before anyone even takes an object. Yesterday it was very brief. Sometimes it's very long. And people start getting nervous, saying, well, who's going to start? They're already putting something into that space. It's that moment when we sit here before I start speaking. So, in that moment, so that's the, that would be, first there's this, take it away, then there's this moment of, I don't know, and then, what manifests? Then someone takes an object and begins to speak, and you receive it. It's just what it is. Without your ideas about that stupid what she's saying, he doesn't know what he's talking about, he's brilliant, she should say something else, he's talking too long, whatever. Before that, what is it? And so the same is for all of the koans that we have. The same is for every moment. That text that we chanted last night, the Heart Sutra, is about this. It says, form is emptiness, emptiness is form. All that is saying is, the form, we take away, as we did in the circle of these forms, we take away what we know of them. We empty them. And then, in that in-between moment, we could say, We experience them as just all the same. In that circle, we are all the same. We are all. We don't have our individual characteristics. We don't have our histories, our different ages, all of the stuff that we've accumulated. In that moment, we just are all the same. So we are empty of all this stuff. We call this oneness. This is the unity aspect of reality. And then, that would be really nice if everything stayed that way, wouldn't it? I'm speaking from personal experience. The temptation to remain with no complications of individualities, of different characteristics, of things I like and don't like, of things I'm afraid of things I want to possess, and things I don't want to think about, all of these things. In that moment of unity, there's none of that. Everyone just is. Everything just is. But then, there's this other thing we say. Emptiness is form. So this empty whatever is in fact something. And it has all these different characteristics. So, the glass is sometimes empty and it's sometimes full, and sometimes it has water and sometimes it has wine. Sometimes it has dirty water, and sometimes it has Coca-Cola, and sometimes we like Coca-Cola, sometimes we don't. And then there's different kinds of Coca-Cola, and there's different kinds of wine. And, the leaves have, some of the leaves have marks on them, and some of them don't. Some of the acorns are ripe, some of them aren't. One of the cats is paralyzed, the other one isn't. The vast, we call that in Zen, we call that the 10,000 things. Of course, it's much more than 10,000. And yesterday in Circle, it was the 10,000 things manifesting in each one of us. All of this unbelievable abundance of diversity, of difference. So, if we are coming from this place where we have emptied out our fixed positions about these things, and then we receive the diversity, the specialness, the differences. We receive it differently. We could say we have space for it. We are open. We're generous. However you want to say it. And we have many different situations like that in our life, all the time. Every moment presents us with a situation like that. You know, it's like I once went to, for my work, I went to interview someone. As a journalist, I had to interview someone so I could write a story. And were sitting there and we were having our conversation, and suddenly a woman appeared and she brought a plate of tea. And she said, I'm sorry, the cups and plates don't match. You know, it's kind of a jumble of different cups and plates and things and whatever. And I said to her, it's absolutely perfect. I wasn't expecting anything. I wasn't expecting any tea. I wasn't expecting a woman to arrive and bring me this. So it didn't have any importance to me whether the cups and saucers matched, or if there was a chip on one of them, or completely no importance. I received it, I saw absolutely this saucer did not match that cup. I saw that there was a chip on the handle. I saw it all. But I had no expectation that it would be different. And so it was perfect. It was beautiful. Like the circle yesterday. As long as we didn't have expectations about what would be said, or about on ourselves what we would say, it was okay. And probably we all did at some point have expectations. We anticipated what we would say. We anticipated what someone else would say. When it changed and it didn't fit our idea, it was maybe a little tightening, maybe even very subtle, and we just, okay. Or maybe we kind of dozed off and didn't really listen to it. I don't know. There are many different possibilities. Sometimes I give this meditation where I say, during your sitting, whatever arises, at the beginning of the sitting, pick a language that you don't speak. So we would say Norwegian. I don't speak Norwegian. And so we would sit down, and whatever arises, you identify in your language, whatever it is. And then you translate it into Norwegian. This is a language you don't speak, right? This is a tool to help you in order to translate, right? All of us here are familiar with translating because we've been doing it all week, right? Either you've been translating what I'm saying into Portuguese, or you've been translating for someone else, or I'm translating from French to English, or English to French, or trying to understand what's being said in Portuguese, or something. That's just on a very basic level. You translate in many other ways too, but just on a linguistic level, that's what we do. In order to translate, you have to open the space around the word. You have to expand your mind, as we used to say in the 70s. Open the space around the object or the word. Experience it directly. And then decide how you would say that experience in the other language. Now, it happens very quickly, especially if you know the other language well. Very quick. You become very proficient, and sometimes doesn't even happen anymore. In French and English, I don't really translate anymore. Occasionally I do. In a language that you don't speak, this adds an element This adds a technique for opening the space, to empty out what we know about that object, what we know about that sensation, what we know about that emotion, what we know about that story, what we know about that koan. Empty it out. Because the fact that we don't speak that other language, we can't quickly grab onto something to replace it with the word that we're emptying out, the idea we're emptying away. We don't have anything to replace it with because we don't speak that language. So we're left with our direct experience of it. We are left with things as they are, before I is born, before cup is born. And in that Heart Sutra that we chanted yesterday, at the end there's this mantra that goes para, para, and para is Sanskrit for gone beyond. So it means doesn't mean what we think it means. It doesn't mean that it's somewhere else. Beyond is usually far away. But in fact, it's here. We have gone beyond our all that stuff we put in there. We've managed to empty it out. So we've gone beyond and we see form is emptiness. So this is just what it is. It's not full of all of my stuff. And then it says para again, which is then the emptiness is form. So it's what it is without all of my stuff, but it has many characteristics. It's made of glass, it's a certain width, it's a certain height, it has a certain amount of liquid in it, it came from somewhere, someone brought it to me, it will be washed because it's dirty, it has the qualities of being dirty and clean. When I have emptied it of all my stuff, there's no dirty, there's no clean, there's no empty, there's no full, there's no coming, there's no going. But when I then see emptiness as form, I see that what I'm thinking is empty is in fact full. I thought it was empty, I took everything out of it, but in fact it's full. It's full of what it is. It's not full of my ideas about what it is, it's full of what it is. So, para, para, and then it's like, parasamgate, it's like completely, fully gone beyond, is what that gata says, that mantra says. And completely, fully gone beyond, beyond the form is empty and the empty is form, well, we can't even say anything about it. Because as soon as we say something about it, we're adding something. We're jumping into one or the other. But that parasamgate, which is completely, totally gone beyond, is here, now, things as they are, nothing else. That's how this all ties in with tomorrow, your everyday life. all of this stuff that I'm saying applies to generosity, discipline, the middle way, koan practice, the circle yesterday, the cup, everything. But it also applies to everything you are, everything you do, everywhere you go, everyone you know, every moment. There's a famous line that came from Shogyam Trungpa, a Tibetan master, one of the greatest or most innovative Buddhist teachers of the 20th century, who said, the path is the goal. So, this is a way of saying your everyday life is the goal. Because the path is nothing other than what is before you. So whatever you have right now in front of you is the path. And Trungpa is saying, the path is the goal. So whatever you have in front of you is the goal. There's nowhere to go but there. In fact, the truth is there isn't anywhere to go but here. We're always here. There's no way out. I say that is the bad news, but that is really the good news. There's nowhere to go. It's all here. You don't have to go somewhere else to get something. You don't have to become someone else. You already are it. However, you are full of your ideas about that. And so you have to empty that out, those ideas. But that doesn't mean you become someone else. It just means that you see your true face before I is born. Someone asked me this morning if I was a monk. And I kind of was surprised, but then I thought, well, of course, no, it's not surprising. You know, we have a lot of ideas about this practice, and people are monks, you know, and there's a monastic way. And I responded that, no, my teacher truly, her experience was that the path is the goal, and that the path is what is before you, and that my path was this. My path was as I am, my life as it is, which it can be as well for monks. In either case, however, the only thing that needs to be let go of, you know, we say monks, they leave home, they give up their possessions, they are celibate, they shave their heads, they wear special clothing, all aimed at this, the path is the goal, all aimed at this emptying out all of these ideas we have. But it doesn't necessarily mean that they do it. Changing the forms is not experiencing directly the reality. It might, but it's not necessary. It can be a good tool, but it's not necessary. The only thing we need to let go of, the only home we need to leave, is the home that's full of all our shit, let's say, full of all our ideas and our fixed position about ourselves, our fixed idea about who we are. That's the home we need to leave. So, often on a day like this, people are thinking about leaving this home, maybe are very happy to be leaving this home that we've made here, maybe a little anxious, maybe a little sad, maybe not even thinking about it, whatever. It's important to acknowledge whatever we're feeling about it. And then to keep what I said, keep in mind this notion of emptying it of our ideas and emptying our everyday life about our ideas about our everyday life. Opening to whatever arises and then experiencing whatever it is that arises in our daily life. As we did here, whether we realize it or not, we came here in this strange place. All kinds of weird stuff going on. Weird rituals, weird schedule, all kinds of animals, and the weather changing all the time, and weird food, and interactions with people, and all kinds of stuff. And secretly, without even realizing it, you opened to it, and you dropped your ideas about it. Not all of them, of course. No. Let's be realistic. And you experience things as they are here. Sometimes it's more difficult to open to things that are unfamiliar. But once we have opened to things that are more unfamiliar, it's easier to then receive them because they're unfamiliar. And we don't have our judgments about them. These judgments aren't as strong, let's say. I once heard the teacher of my teacher say at a retreat, when someone asked him, you know, I have to go into my daily life tomorrow. I have to go back, and my wife and my kids, and the insurance payment is due, and I have a project at work I have to finish. It seems so easy here, sitting here. I didn't have to deal with my wife. I didn't have to face my children. I didn't have to think about my bank account and where am I getting the money to pay the insurance. I didn't have to stress over, I don't have time to finish that project at work. I could just sit here and all I had to worry about was I'm in the dishwashing crew, I'm tired, I have to get up tomorrow morning. Minor compared to what I have to do when I go out. So, I heard this teacher say, if you don't want to leave the meditation hall, don't enter the meditation hall. Now, this wasn't what it sounds like. He wasn't saying what it sounds like he's saying. He wasn't saying, well, if you don't want to go home, then don't even come here. If you don't want to face up to the fact that you have to go back home, then don't even bother coming. He wasn't saying that. He was saying that take it with you. There isn't, don't make this separation of everyday life and practice life. Empty the practice life of your ideas about it. Empty the everyday life of your ideas about it, and you will be able to appreciate them for what they are. Meaning, entering the meditation hall is like having a fixed idea of its limits. There's a door, I have to go through it, I have to go in it and out it, which is true. But that's just one of the aspects of the retreat, of this moment of daily life, for you right now, has this aspect. And when you get back in your car and you drive south, wherever you're going, the countryside will change. It's true. And sitting in the car is different than sitting on a meditation cushion. That's true. Can you empty it of your ideas about it? And as my teacher said to me, just do it. What is driving the car before I had a driver's license or before I was born, right? What is it? Now, every, like I said, every moment, every action, every activity, every relationship is a koan. So, you may have a specific one that I gave you and that you stay with. Stay with it, keep doing it. Don't give up. Don't give up, don't give up. Stay with it, stay with it. However frustrating, difficult, silly, absurd, whatever, stay with it, stay with it, stay with it. Keep emptying, emptying, emptying. So you have this very specific task, maybe, but you also have the very specific task in front of you at each moment, which is the same. That's why I said your life as it is your greatest koan. You are your greatest koan. Every moment is a beautiful little gem of a koan. There for you. Offering itself. Take me. Take me as I am. And there's nothing, nothing esoteric about this. Drinking water is just drinking water. But experiencing whatever is before you directly is beyond words. It is an experience so at the same time ordinary that it is extraordinarily radical. It's so radically different from the way we usually experience things that we think of it as being extraordinary. And it's what everyone, all the books and things you hear talk about, that's what they're talking about. But it's not extraordinary. That's one of the ideas we have about it that we have to get rid of, that we have to put aside. It's not like some, you know, mystical thing with angels and colors and transcendent. It transcends our fixed ideas about things, but it's right here now. Any questions or comments, or how's it going, or?
Sometimes we do it, no?
We do what?
We experience things as they are.
Absolutely.
Even if it's for brief moments.
Absolutely. Yes, definitely. Yep.
And, of course, there is a need to empty. He said, but it's part of the process. But when it, like Yang said, there's sometimes that just be, just, it's when you leave the empty. At least for me,
it's when you leave it?
When there's no direction. Because when you're empty, there's a direction.
That's right.
And so most of the difficulties for me in the retreats, because in the retreat you are almost, of course you are dealing everything but direction, expectation, and so it's that. To deal with the direction to freedom or whatever. But then, of course, at some point, something happens. Many points. and there's this opening. And then, of course, happens again. In each retreat, there's some. It's funny for me because there's always a part of the lyric of a song, something in the last one. It was a song by Neil Young. It says, "Back to where there's nowhere to go." Always during all days. At some point, you said this phrase in one of your talks. And this time is no direction home. Bob Dylan. It's always with me. I didn't gave up to go to the interviews in the Cohen, but as soon as I noticed that there's a direction, I remember the old Zen masters, and I say to myself, I don't say to myself, but I remember when you already deserve sati even before you get up. I just stay because I know even before I get up, I can hear the that means I don't. I'm not going anymore. But
yes, there's another famous phrase in Zen. It's dwelling and non-dwelling, where because dwelling in non-dwelling. In French, we'd say demeurer dans le non-demeure. I don't know if that's closer to Portuguese. Because easily we can then sit down in emptying, like you said. You know, empty, and then we just keep emptying, and then we become attached to emptying, and then we just sit there with emptying. And we dwell upon emptying. And when we say dwelling in non-dwelling, it's non-dwelling is not dwelling anywhere. But it's not even dwelling in that non-dwelling. So it's tricky. It's very tricky. And we see, it's interesting to see, We can become attached to the no direction home, or we can become attached to home, or we can become attached to not being attached to home, or we can become attached to not being attached to not direction home. It's endless. And so yes, it's as soon as we find ourselves sticking somewhere, we have to pull the rug out again. And that's where the interaction with the teacher comes, because the teacher pulls the rug out. And yes, sometimes we don't even want to get up because we know that the rug is going to be taken out. So we don't even do it, I know.
For me, it seems that I'm expecting something to come up from the empty space. The going to myself or whatever, and there's an empty space. And then it seems that I start blowing it in. And of course, something happens, but
not what you expect.
Yesterday, there was a profound experience because of the rain. When the door was open and everybody left, I just stay here with Isabel. And the rain fulfilled this space. And so instead of looking, I knew it was just conditions, just rain. And this, okay. Not okay, because there wasn't any okay, just right?
Direct experience of rain. And as soon as we put a word on it, then there's already a degree of separation. Of course, we have to. That's our world of communication and relationships, and in order for there to be a relationship, there's two, so of course. And there's nothing wrong with the words. Putting a word to rain, in fact, it's necessary. So in order for you to explain to us your experience, direct experience of rain, you had to use words. It's beautiful, but everyone heard it.
But literature uses words in a different way.
Sometimes, not always.
Which makes you maybe experience things as they are in a much more direct way.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Some literature doesn't, but the best literature does.
Yes. Yeah. The one that stays.
Yeah. And the same with painting, with or music, the arts in general, dance. They're all using form to manifest the non-form in a direct way. And we experience it. That's why we are touched by art, because of that. And some are more than others. Some Is it lunchtime?
15 minutes.
So, yes?
Can part of the path be the exhaustion of all the emotions, of the intellectual process?
If
experiencing living to the exhaustion?
If we say the path is the goal and whatever is before you is the path, then what would you answer to that question?
Sorry.
If the path is the goal and whatever is before you is the path, So he's saying, can that path include exhaustion?
The exhaustion of the emotion. Yeah. Well, if there's an emotion, well, it would make sense. It would have to be, leaving it.
Yeah. The path excludes nothing.
So it will.
And it seems that
it's an intellectual process. You think, okay, I'm doing this, or I'm thinking this, or maybe someone is interacting with me because of, I don't know, because of the way of the image I show, or the idea the person has about.
That's the material you have to work with at that moment. Yes. Yeah. The trick is, though, that usually we become caught up in that.
And we don't realize it.
Right. Yeah.
That's the...
Yeah, and we're attached to it, and so that's... Then we become lost.
That's where awareness comes.
Yeah. Yeah.
It seems that it comes in waves or something, and... okay, you deal with this, and then another kind of things. Anything that, everything that interests you or touches you in some sense, it comes, and you empty, and then it becomes something else that touches you there, and if it is a goose or a duck or whatever, or some people. So strange sometimes, because it seems that it's magical. How come this thing comes here, it happens here, and then it seems that it's just for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah. And even, you know, I used to, when I would sit here and listen to my teacher talk, I would think she was talking directly to me. She was saying exactly what I was experiencing. I knew she knew exactly what I'd been thinking about that day or whatever. It's for you.
Pessoal em português. Eu só queria dizer que, em complemento com isto que acabou de ser dito, que estes três últimos dias de trabalho, em cada um deles, aconteceu para mim uma coisa que colocou uma questão, que me foi colocada por pessoas que vieram ter comigo, de alguma maneira, e que são as minhas questões. São questões que eu ponho em relação ao meu relacionamento com as pessoas. São três questões diferentes, três pessoas diferentes, e eu não falei com elas disso. Tudo dentro da minha cabeça é tudo. Funciona assim.
So, what is there a question? Or just a...
What is my question?
Se o que tu expuseste agora é uma questão?
Não.
Justo uma observação?
Se pensa não por ver que se são das coisas que vêm diretamente por mim.
Oui.
É que eu não... Elles viennent por mim e après eu penso.
The même chose, but...
Oui.
If we are open to it, we see it when it happens like that. Mm-hmm.